Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Meets These Guys. This podcast is a journey through Transformers from the beginning of the anime series with two old friends coming at it from different perspectives. Together, we will go episode by long episode in season two, with the occasional extra to look at how the show holds up or if it's trapped in nostalgia. We'll be looking at all things involved in the episode, whether there are real world factors that crept in the writing or if the episode was typical afternoon cartoon fodder. I'm Evan, I'm a lifelong fan, is familiar with all aspects of the franchise. Well, Ed here is familiar with Transformers, but it was really nothing he got into when he was younger. So thanks for being here, everyone. And Ed, how you doing, dude?
Been a while. I'm doing better. I'm doing better. Sorry, I was out for a couple of episodes there.
Yeah, just a couple. So,
what's that?
Just a couple.
Yeah. Take care of yourselves, guys. It's exactly. Yeah, it's a rough world. My bad. Yeah. So while I was out, though, I took a vacation from work, and that was very cool. I did some things around my house I needed to take care of, like fixing some things. But also, I watched a lot of baseball. And when I say I watched a lot of baseball, I mean I watched a lot of baseball. Like, I like baseball anyway. Like, I'm a fan. Yeah. But, like, dude, I watched a ton of baseball. My friend gave me the login for his MLB app.
Oh, nice.
Have you ever messed around with any of these like sports like apps like that?
I have,
like,
a little bit. I've done the college, NCAA football stuff,
right? Oh, yeah.
You can watch like old games from a year ago, you can watch current games, you can just like watch kind of whatever.
Yeah. Those are really cool. Like, in they're very cool because there's so much content on there. Football, I don't think like I mean, I love football and I love college football, but that's basically like, hey, there's games on Saturday and there's, you know, maybe a game on like, you know, Thursday or whatever, or Friday or whatever. But do you know how much baseball gets played?
Dude, okay. First of all, you have usually like, what is it, like a run of four games in a series usually?
Yeah. Three or four,
depending on the way how the games play out. And I mean, you have playoffs, you have exhibition games, all kinds of. There's so much baseball, and I when I'm at a baseball stadium, I like baseball. Whenever it's on TV, it's like watching golf to me. It's boring.
So each team plays a minimum of 162 games in a season. There are 2,430 games before the postseason. This is an insane amount of a sport. But the thing is so every day there's baseball. There's never a day where I cannot turn that app on and watch baseball, watch something going on. And they have a cool thing too, where they do like big inning on this. So it's like, you just tune into that and it's the four most exciting things that are going, the four most exciting games that are going on. Oh, and the audio switches between the four of those. This is nuts. I just sat here and just took in. It was like drinking out of like a fire hose of baseball. It was amazing. I can watch every game, but there's so much content. There's like content about like baseball cards on here. It's like like interviews and documentaries, and like I can't stop watching this. It's amazing. Cool. I love it.
Like I said, that's too much for me. I mean, I would probably watch more classical wrestling than I would baseball. Because
I've gone off on that tangent occasionally as well. I went off on a weird old wrestling tangent, but I think that Jehu's coming on in the next couple of weeks, and I'm gonna save that to talk to him about it because I know that he has funny opinions on it. So I'm gonna save that. But I'll tell you what I did watch, though.
Yeah,
was Alien 3. When is the last time you watched Alien 3?
Actually, kind of recently.
Oh, really?
Yes,
oh, good,
have.
Good.
Because I'm kind of building up to Romulus coming out.
Uh-huh.
So I love the first one. The second one's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Third one, I think, was really maligned at the time. I like it better now going back and watching it.
I haven't seen it since 1992.
Okay.
In its entire, I think I've caught like a couple of scenes here and there, but I did not like it at all when it came out because... I don't know if you remember this, but when it came out, and I think I've talked about this on the show in the past, but in the lead up to that, there were the Dark Horse comic books where they did like the Earth War, where the aliens like came to Earth and all that, and there was like a teaser or something like that that implied that was what was going to happen. was that the aliens were going to come to Earth. That was going to be a giant battle. Mm-hmm. And that was what everybody wanted out of Alien 3. So it was like, oh my God, it's going to be, because it just ramps up and up and up, you know, because mm-hmm. it's like you get this, the claustrophobic horror of the first one. You get the big, you know, the desperate action movie stuff of the second one. And then the third one is just going to be this massive, like, all out war thing. And then what you get is like a backslide almost to the first movie of like another like moody claustrophobic thing, only not quite as good. But there's been in the, like, it was like you said though, in the last few years, there's been like kind of a, like, well, let's take another look at it. It's not as bad as you remember. In fact, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
My conclusion on the whole thing is that it's simultaneously better than I remember, but it's also worse. It's at the same time, it's better. It's a better and worse movie than I thought it was. It's a better movie than I remember it being. It taken in a vacuum, but it's also not as good as all this revisionism says it's David Fincher's first movie and all this stuff. And like the cast was on the cast is it's I mean, outside of Charles Dance, I feel like the cast was pretty weak. And you get like Lance Henriksen in it and for like 90 seconds. What a waste. But the other thing about it is though, and here's the big thing, is that I watched it immediately after I watched Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the credit started, I X'd out of it, and I immediately started Alien 3 and watched it. And this time when I watched Aliens, I really picked up on the themes of motherhood in that movie.
Oh yeah, and, totally.
Well, it's one of those things, it's there and it's ham-fisted and it's obvious, but they never really sunk in for me for watching Aliens in the past. But this time it was, I was like, oh, this is, you know, there's like Ripley, you know, you learning that Ripley had a daughter and then, you know, and then her daughter dying and then Newt becoming like her surrogate daughter, basically. Uh-huh. And then, you know, you have the queen alien who's the mother of the aliens. And then, you know, Ripley going back to save Newt and all this stuff. And it's it all really ties into motherhood. And I was like, oh, that's a cool little, that's a cool thing. And that's very cool and heavy stuff. And especially for sci-fi. And then Alien 3 just undoes the whole thing, right? In the first minute and a half of the movie, it just completely undoes the whole thing. But there's like seeds of cool stuff in there. Like the fact that Ripley has, you know, she's now a mother again. The mother of the mother. She's, you know, she has a queen. And it's there's cool things in here. But it was just like, I feel like there's a really good like 20 minute movie in there. Stretched out to like an hour and a half, but it also feels so low budget. It feels like a student film.
I'll let you finish on that, but I disagree. But anyways, yeah.
You disagree that it feels low budget?
I do. Really? I'm not saying it feels like a huge budget because it just doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't at all.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. I like the fact that it went back to the roots of Alien and you are... But even worse, because even on Alien, you have an escape ship. Here, you're stuck on this penitentiary planet, you know, essentially. And, you know, it's these people who, and I like the undertones of the tension with her being there. And, you mm-hmm. know, the idea that she's essentially, she's feeling like, you know, prey like most of the time. And she has these little safe places and everything. But, you know, the alien is almost like an afterthought because it's there.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's there, but it's like a silent killer. It's like a slasher. And she's, you know, surrounded by like all this tension, all this stuff going on. She's trying to play back the mystery of what happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hate the fact that they killed off is Hicks, right? Yeah, Hicks.
Yeah, did you know that Michael Biehn was so mad at that he mm-hmm. got paid as much that they use his likeness in that, and they paid him as much for Alien 3 as they paid him for Aliens?
Wow, mm-hmm. that's strong. But I mean, yeah, I hate the idea that that he was, you know, he was shunted out of that. I don't know how he would have worked in with this whole prison setting. Same thing with Newt. It was kind of it'd been a weird dynamic to have in the movie. So I think they were almost a casualty of the setting.
Well, I mean, they were like that was like the third or fourth script that they like Yeah. Like different script they went through, not like a revision of a revision revision. It was like, no, we're not using this one. Let's go with this one. No, we're not using this one. Let's go with this one. It was like, it was way on in there. So I think that a lot of that was what happened, but I mean, they use like a lot of like kind of low budget, like tricks, like the whole thing where you get the camera point of view of the alien running through the halls. Cause to be honest, that was all I remembered about it was the whole running stuff. Cause that's stuff that like Sam Raimi did in Evil Dead when he could, because he was broke and he was like, let's just put the camera on a board and run.
2x4 on a board. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you see it in that and it's in like, well, that's awesome. Cause he made that movie for $2,000, but yeah, like, bro, you guys had $50 million to make this movie. And this is all you could do is a fisheye lens on a Steadicam. Like that was it.
So this is where I disagree. I think stylistically it was a cool idea and it was something that to try. One of my biggest complaints about aliens is when they show the alien too much, just like, you know, Predator. I want them to be an ominous force of nature almost. So you see the alien a few times, it's all CG for the first time, and it loses something when you see it all. I like the fact that it's like slightly different because it was impregnated the dog and stuff.
I agree on less is more with alien, because I mean, you don't ever really, I think an alien, I think you see the alien fully on screen, like, for about a half a second, like it's not a whole lot.
Mike was rising up around the corner from her.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
At the ship, you know, in the escape ship. Yeah, now, the thing I'll also say about Alien 3 is, dude, the mood and the lighting. Yes, there. It's all ways. It's all practical ways to cover up, you know, maybe, you know, bad sets or bad, you know, lower budget stuff. Mm-hmm. But I like that kind of thing. I like a mood. I like the fact that you know, one of my favorite movies is Dark City. That whole thing is the whole city is done as a mood. Like it's another character. So
you're absolutely right. And I like the mood of Alien 3. I just like, there was just like, there was a lot of sameness going on. Like everybody had the same haircut. Everybody looked the same. Everybody was wearing tan clothes. They all looked the same. And it was a whole lot of sameness, but I don't feel like any of the characters outside of Charles Dance and the guy that played Rock really stood out, but here's the thing though. Is that we're not an aliens podcast.
No, yet. We're not.
Yet.
We're speaking of threes though.
Yet. We're probably going to be an aliens podcast here before the end of the year. we're a Transformers podcast.
Yes.
We are a podcast about robots that turn into cars.
Yes.
And we are covering Triple Takeover. Speaking of three, Alien 3. This is three Takeover.
Because it is an election year, I gotta give my shirt here. Megatron, Starscream, you know, 2024.
Megatron and Starscream to punish and enslave.
You know, how they are going to act. You know, you it's safe. You know, you better the devil you know.
why vote for the lesser of two evils? Triple Takeover. This is a Larry Strauss episode. We've talked about Larry Strauss before. He was the guy with the whole Facts of Life deal that was married to Mrs. Garrett or whatever from Facts of Life and wrote Facts of Life. So go back and just listen to the episode we did about on Blaster Blues and just I cover it extensively there. So just go back and listen to that and pretend that it's here.
That's fair,
dear listener. But I will. I had a real dumb quote.
Okay, by all means.
I lost it. In switching between computers, I just lost it. But it was something about how like Larry Strauss quit writing for TV because, and I don't have the exact quote, but he quit writing for TV because he was writing for the show about robots that turn into cars. And he learned that he was writing for the third most violent kids cartoon on television. And he went and expressed his concerns to the producers and they told him, well, that's no good at all. We got to get it up to number one. And so he retired from.
There you go. That's the problem. You know, you got to go all in.
You got to get those numbers up.
If you're not first, you're last.
Right.
Yeah. So also, I got to say for the opening scene here, the Decepticons are making a Mount Rushmore of Megatron, Starscream, Astrotrain, and Blitzwing. Well, I say the Decepticons. It's just Starscream, Astrotrain, and Blitzwing.
Why are these four on the Mount Rushmore? Where is Where's Soundwave?
Because he's, I guess he's not good enough for this, man. I
He's
will
not in
say
this at
though, real
all.
quick, our friend in the Discord trigger actually made an image of this Mount Rushmore from scratch, and it's gonna be our thumbnail. So thanks, Trigger, for that. It looks
Nice.
really cool.
I have seen that. I have seen that art. It is extremely cool.
Yeah,
Yeah,
they
it's
did a
awesome.
great
Thanks so
job.
much for
Yeah,
doing that.
definitely. So I want to like give them a shout out there. And so yeah, so they start shooting the Megatron face.
Oh, before they start shooting this, though, you know what happened? I got a YouTube commercial this far into this.
Wow.
Dude, oh my God, they're ramping them up, dude. They're ramping them
Yeah.
up. So they blow up Megatron's face. So they're the three of these guys are planning to take the triple threat here. They're planning a takeover,
Yeah.
maybe because they're flying back and just openly trash talking
Starscream.
Starscream, like right there. Like, and he's just like, I'm not a loser, I don't know what I'm doing.
Losers say
Like,
what? Yeah, exactly.
these guys have to know what's up.
So yeah, they're looking at each other like, wow, it was easy to bait. Yeah. Good.
So Starscream and Megatron are like walking through a sewer. They're trying to find like an Autobot energy base or something like
Yeah,
that.
it's up here somewhere, Megatron. And the gas that comes down and starts, gassing them.
Dude, I was like, oh, they're poisoning these. It's like coming from like the sprinklers almost. And I was like, they're poisoning these guys, really? But
Absolute 0 degrees
zero
molecules.
degree molecules, 0 degree molecules, they
So it's
called it.
negative 32, 32 degrees. And so well, actually, was it,
No,
what is absolute zero? It's Kelvin, right?
hold on. No, well, it's zero. I think it's zero Kelvin, but here's the
Yeah.
deal is later on, there's a like one of the other Decepticons like reaches up and feels the temperature and then he goes, whoa, it's negative 470 in there. Negative 470 Fahrenheit is absolute zero.
Nice,
So
nice little.
it actually would actually yeah that, well it's actually negative 460, but it's like,
Close
look
enough.
man, look, for Mrs. Garrett's husband, I'll cut him 10 degrees of slack. So
Yeah, it was that. That was I think it was Blitzwing. He touched it. It's like, oh wow, because he was
he's
holding the
holding the pipe.
panel cover.
Yeah.
Starscream was trying to get out, and he's like, his escape route. He was over here. He's over there, like yeah. Well, a smart Decepticon plans his escape, and he's turning the thing and will turn. And Blitzwing's now like, nope. They were so it was such a terrible plan that just went off so well. So wonderful.
Oh, we get a football game.
Oh.
This was cool because last time that we had a football game on the show, it was awesome. We had we had like a weird like quarterback sacking another quarterback, which was cool.
But this one
But we get a tank show. A tank shows up at the football
The
stadium.
goat is like, Coach, it's a tank. What do I do?
You
Give
pass
him
him the ball.
the
This dude passes the ball to Astra to
ball.
Blitzwing,
To Blitzwing, yeah.
it lands in the cannon,
Yeah.
which he then shoots.
You
And
throw.
yeah, it was cool. It was good. It was a good throw. That was that was a Brett Favre level throw there. So Blitzwing makes this football stadium, this combat simulation arena, he calls it. He makes it Blitzwing headquarters. This is
He takes the coach and goes, you are a great military strategist.
this was very cool.
God, this is one of the funniest episodes. Like, I don't know if they intended it to be this funny, but it was.
That was really good.
It's so.
The thing is, so Blitzwing's been on the field for like a minute and they're still running the play. The play is still going. And like they're still like running this
Coach
whole
and
game.
blow whistle, man. You can't play until the whistle goes.
Oh God. So yeah, that was good. So Blitzwing recruits this coach who's got a contract. He's
Contracts are made to be broken.
contracts are made to be broken. But now we have Astro Train headquarters. This isn't nearly as good as Blitzwing
This
headquarters.
is really kind of sad.
It was, yeah, it was.
He wants to so badly. He
Dude,
takes over a train yard.
so he takes over a train yard. Like, why didn't he take over a space shuttle launch pad? That would have been cooler, like a NASA base or something.
I don't know,
But
man.
so the, like the head conductor, this guy's real cool. This is like a guy you'd see like playing like the jug in like a folk band.
It's because he's playing the washboard.
He's that guy that just plays like junk. This guy's evacuating this train station, and but there's a guy in there that looks like the shadow, or not the shadow, the spirit,
Oh, I'll go back and look at that.
the Will Eisner, yeah, like the blue suit with the
Yeah.
fedora and everything. Like, did you ever read that? You ever read
I
that
never
comic?
did. No, I never did. I
Will
know
Eisner.
of it. I just never read it.
Did you ever see the movie, the Frank Miller
No,
directed
I
movie?
did not.
Hard pass on it because
Yeah.
you're better off. It
Is
was,
that
yeah.
Alec Baldwin in it?
What's that?
Spirit. Is that Alec Baldwin, or is that the Shadow?
Yeah, that was the Shadow. That was the one from the
Okay.
90s. There was the Spirit came out in like I think like 2008 or something like
Oh,
that.
wow. That's
Yeah,
tragic.
but it was like Frank Miller directed it. And this is
Oh.
after like Sin City came out, and he was I guess Robert Rodriguez was like, "Oh, see, I can just film panels from your comic. You can do this too." And it was like it was okay. Like
Yeah.
Sam Jackson's in it. He's
If it,
the
yeah.
villain.
I guess if it's streaming, I may watch it.
I mean, it's fine, I guess. I don't know.
Not paying for it, but I might watch.
Yeah, I don't know. Blitzwing shoves the coach in the locker, which is kind of a twist of like a reversal of the what coaches usually do here. That was cool. And he's demanding strategy from this coach though. And so
His line is like, "Tell me what's on your mind, or I'll splatter to the wall and see for myself."
yeah.
Yeah, you
But so he
know.
learns the zone defense. So this coach is just randomly saying stuff from football, like,
Oh,
I don't know, man. Draw the zone defense. Try and what if he would have said a nickel defense? What would have happened then?
wait. Well, nah. That's I mean zone defense. I don't know. It honestly, he could have said prevent.
What if you would have said a 3-4? Run a 3-4. Like
Maybe
what's
we'd
Will gonna
had
do then?
like three a construct comes out front and the
And
four in
then
the
four in
back.
the back. Okay.
I don't
All
know.
right.
Maybe I don't know. Yeah, but there was a line like that before he says, like, "I need more strategy." It's like, oh, zone defense.
I need more. Blitzwing really needs to coach for a lot of teams for the NFL because there's a lot of teams out there that are real bad. Like I could use him just coming in and yelling like to the Saints that hey, you guys need more strategy. We need more strategy.
Give me the strategy, or I'll splatter in the wall and see it for myself.
Dude, what is going on? I don't know what's going on in this episode. I don't know what's happening because like what are they doing? What's the plan here? I have no idea what's
This
going on.
is the most one of the weirdest Gonzo episodes, because zone strategy, zone defense means that the Constructicons are going to build a Hot Wheels track that goes.
Okay, dude. Okay. So, well, first of all, before we get to that, though,
Okay.
Blitzwing has no idea how scoring works.
No,
Because
that's worth at least 5 points.
yeah, so he got 2 points for doing something, and then he got 5 points or something like that. So, but did you ever play the game Cities Skylines?
I know of it. I never played it now.
Cities Skylines.
Yeah.
I enjoy this game. I like weird simulation games. I'm also a big fan of SimCity. I was a big fan of SimCity 2000. I played a lot of SimCity 2000, and there hasn't really been a good SimCity since SimCity 2000. But Cities Skylines was supposed to be the spiritual descendant of SimCity, and I'm like, oh, cool. So I got this, and it's very cool. But the thing is that Cities Skylines is a very easy as far as the actual city management stuff goes. After the first few turns, you're making money, and it's like that's not an issue because in SimCity you can go broke and all this stuff or whatever, and like or you can't get this area or whatever. But like it usually it, so Cities Skylines, what it usually ends up being is this giant traffic management simulation. And but see, the thing is when you start playing it, there's only certain types of roads that are available, and then like traffic just kind of ramps up because as you grow, it's like there's more cars are coming in and moving around, and then, so the traffic just starts getting bad. But as your city grows, you unlock different things like four lane roads or different kinds of on ramps or high traffic ro or industrial roads or whatever. You unlock this stuff, and like let's see, the thing is by the time you have it, you already have all of this infrastructure in place, so you've already got like water mains and like pipes and electrical lines and roads are already there, neighborhoods and all this stuff. And so but the traffic is just terrible. So you're like, well, I can unlock this on ramp. So I'm gonna add this on ramp here. And then you're like, so you do that, and then it weirdly like deviates the traffic around a little bit, and there's another bottleneck over here, and you're like, oh, well, I'll put a roundabout there, and then you're like, and then it messes something else up, and it's this giant domino thing. So after a while, you've like you're patching patches of patches, and so you've got like a clover leaf, and you've got like on ramps and exit ramps and roundabouts and like overpasses and all this stuff, and it looks like a giant pile of spaghetti, which is exactly what Blitzwing had the constructed concept built here.
Which is beautiful.
It is like my wet dream as a kid of a Hot Wheels track. It's just going forever.
It's insane. This was very cool.
He starts lobbing shells into the city also.
The long bomb.
Yeah, the long bomb. Sorry.
The coach told him to do the long bomb. So he's like, I never thought to do that. Bro, you're a tank. You never thought to shoot?
I guess not. I guess not.
I guess not, man.
With the long bomb, though, like a far distance, not right in front of you, but out there somewhere, just lobbing bombs out there.
That's kind of tank 101, man. I think that's. I feel like that's some like day two tank business. If you're the tank.
Yeah. And speaking of the business, so Trax, Blue Streak, and Skids drive into this spaghetti track.
Was the only way there? They couldn't have gone a different way.
The trash can fly. First of all, Trax was a bad move. He can fly. Skids. Mm-hmm. This is the second time I've seen Skids. It's like a Skid sighting. It's impressive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But why?
Why do they go here? Like, you just go around, dude. You don't want to get in there. Because what happens is they're just death racing around these curves. They're not even. There's no caution. They're running into each other. Here comes Blitzwing. You boy smushing.
He's just transforming into a robot and Kool-Aid man to the stadium.
Dude, like Blitzwing runs over these Autobots and it's like Bigfoot. It's like Gravedigger, just like crunches. It makes him flat. These guys are dead. Goes back, racking up points, put some more points on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
This is very cool.
He goes back to Acid Train after this. Acid Train is really bad at this. Sad for him. I'm like, man, it's almost a cringe. It's like getting cringe again. Like, just stop.
He makes these trains take an oath of loyalty to him.
They can't talk. They just honk the train horn.
They became sentient somehow. They just like just beep. Like it's like Christine. He's got like train Christines in there.
Say more than all. And then you know he starts having to ram through these tunnels, which by the way, these are terrible train tunnels. They got like pipes hanging down and wires hanging down.
they can't even get by them, dude.
Harness the energon out of those. It's perfect, you know. We'll fill your passenger cars. What?
There's electrical wires hanging down. They're gonna shock these poor trains. These poor trains are like they're just going along with it, dude. They're just doing what the master trains tell them to do, man.
The Conans start laughing at them.
They show up and
they're just like ragging on him. And poor Astrotrain's like, come on, guys, come on, you can do this.
God, so the city's skyline zone defense is so massive that even the Constructicons got lost in there. This is amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
This is like they're just totally lost. Totally lost there. Is it Trax here that or Smokescreen shows up and he's like doing like burnouts around one of the Decepticons and like, but he starts choking from the smoke.
Smokescreen.
Smokescreen. So yeah, but the Decepticon's like choking from the smoke, and I'm like,
Scrapper's sitting there on the throne he made out of Blue Streak and Tracks at Skids. He's like, this is place crossed.
Put a pin in that because that's gonna become relevant in a little bit here.
Yeah, they lasso the throne and start dragging him out of there.
This is good. The Coneheads still. They're picking on Astro Train and they tell him he couldn't lead rats to a garbage can. Like some like New Jersey level humor here.
They're kind of dumb. So yeah.
But meanwhile, he also as Astro Train's trying to demonstrate how good his trains are, they smack into water main.
Dude, that is the largest water main. That is like they hit the Hudson and like made it go into the entire city.
They hit the whole like the Atlantic seaboard, dude. The whole thing is like, the whole city's like underwater. This is ridiculous.
And
Oh my God.
Yeah, it floods the entire city. Like, of course, Ironhide with his he loves some super cooled nitrogen, so we know this.
Oh, well, that's later on. That's but what happens before that though is that I don't remember how this happened. I was flashing back and forth between taking notes and watching this, but Starscream and Megatron escape from their icy tombs
The
and
water melts them.
the water. Okay. But Megatron straight up is like, look, either you're stupid or you're a traitor.
I'm
And
stupid. I'm stupid.
Starscream just goes on about how stupid he is. I'm stupid. I'm stupid. And
All
oh God. So meanwhile, while this city is flooded, there is not a soul alive in the city. I haven't seen a person anywhere in this entire episode. Like outside of at the train station and in the football
Yeah,
team.
the guy who was the guy who was like running the train station, he left. He left.
Everybody left. He took everybody. I guess they all got on a plane and left.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're shooting bombs into a city, and I don't know,
God,
makes sense to
maybe
me.
they're all dead. I don't know, man.
They all got flooded. I don't know.
Speaking of flooded, Spike shows up and he gets flooded.
Yeah,
And
dude, what the heck? Why is he even there? Is he
why is he
there?
there? He's
What's that?
useless. So he drowns, and Optimus Prime saves him by blasting air conditioner into his face.
How's that for air conditioning,
What was that
Spike?
for air conditioning? Like this, you can do this? Like I went to paramedic school, and like this is all I had to do the whole time.
All you had to do. They didn't
I
tell you
could
that
have
was a secret.
skipped so much stuff.
You could just open a can of Freon on people. It would have
My
been
clear
fine.
rate would have been so high. Like
Yeah.
I
Well,
would have
man,
aced
it'd be
everything. Just
fantastic.
what would you do in this situation? Oh, I would just turn it up to five, full blast, bring it back to
All
life.
cold. All cold.
Dude,
Yeah.
Jawbreaker has a force field that he wards
Yes.
off the water with his force field. Has he always had a force field?
Yeah,
Or
he
is this
always has this. Chris
okay?
Christopherson. Yeah, he has a force field at all times. That's his main thing. His original tech spec, he has a force field, but it
Okay.
basically drains all his power. He's like he runs as efficiently as an old pickup truck would.
Oh,
He's like
force
a
fields were real big in the 80s. That was
oh
that was
yeah.
a big 80s sci-fi tech was the force field.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, they so basically the whole city's flooded and they're saving, Spike. I guess he's the only one there.
He's the only one there, yeah. Like,
Yeah.
so this is where Ironhide fixes the pipe by freezing it. Somehow
That's
he
what it
uses
is.
nitrogen and he freezes water pipe.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Obviously,
I mean,
this is the best way.
that's
This is
how
the best way to
liquid
do it.
works. Liquid-cooled nitrogen works that way, man. So yeah, the Struts-cons come up on a Blitzwing in there. Yeah, they're basically like, hey, we're a partnership, buddy. Oh.
Blitzwing, by the way, has scored 1,569 points. This dude is racking up points, and the visiting team has zero. No one
Mercy
has
rule,
scored.
man. Mercy
Dude, no
rule.
one scored on Blitzwing. This dude's great. He's the MVP of this
Yeah,
episode. He's the best.
he's so great. It was one of my favorite things. This is one of my favorite season two episodes, just because it's so dumb.
God.
Yeah. Though, yeah, though, Blitzwing goes, tell you what, guys, why don't you build a bridge and jump off it? Because to the Constructicons. So of course they form Devastor.
They formed a Vastor. They formed a Vastor.
Yeah.
This is good. So I'm like, I'm excited about this.
Another
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of
ranger.
Big Boy. I'm real because and this isn't one of those like cop outs where he's gonna form and then get knocked out like 5 seconds later. He stays formed for a little while. This is cool.
He does, he does.
The biggest ice burn of all time in Transformers occurs here, where Optimus Prime somehow goes through tunnels and finds where Megatron and Starscream are, and he's like, "There." And so Megatron says something, and Optimus Prime's like, "No! I need to talk to the real leader of the Decepticons." And dude, Megatron is livid at the. So I am the leader, and then he's like, "No, you're not." And he turns into a truck and flashes his high beams at him,
Yeah,
and
he shoots with the headlights.
with headlights. But you know what? At first, I was like, "That's stupid." On the other hand, I'm not exactly a young man anymore. I can't drive at night anymore without some crazy glasses on because every car has these crazy like Close Encounters of the Third Kind headlights now. And I'm like, no, I can believe that Optimus Prime can scare off a bad guy by turning his headlights on because
Oh yeah.
truck headlights are the brightest thing on earth.
Yo,
And
dude, headlights are terrible at driving
headlights
like
are the worst. I
interstate
gotta
stuff at
hate them.
night.
I
Yeah.
hate them.
Yeah, like first of all, I've come to this now where like, oh man, I could read the screen now. So that's the only thing. I can read across the room just fine, but apparently I need readers now. So, and then I can't drive at night.
I also got readers while I was out.
They're fantastic.
I couldn't paint Warhammer Mans anymore, and I had to.
My wife has taken up growing African violets, which is really cool. They're really cool plants. Like I love growing orchids. She loves now. She's taken up growing African violets. So she's like, look at this one. I took this leaf and I'm propagating it. It's really cool. All these little tiny things are around there. And I'm like, huh. So I go, hold on a second. Oh yeah, there they are. Yep. Dude, I never felt so old.
Yeah, it's yeah. I have literally two pairs old of glasses I have to wear now. It's not so good.
No, it's not.
I'd say what was good though was Megatron versus Devastator. Sorry, this was real cool. They were just like, it was just like a slugfest.
This was fantastic. Yeah, Devastator is over there asserting dominance.
Mm-hmm. And he says he's the leader of the Decepticons. Yeah. And do you know Megatron is just livid at this? Like nobody thinks he's the leader of the Decepticons anymore.
Yeah,
like even the Autobots are like, you're not the leader.
They're like, no. The Autobots are like, no, we got this. I think they're take care of their
we're
own.
We're gonna
problems.
Go fight. We're gonna go fight the real leaders, the Decepticons. Megatron, you can just go over there and hang out and do whatever you want to do.
Emasculating Megatron is like one of the funniest things. Never gets old.
Yeah, man. And there's a neat little tie up there, and they're like, that's it.
Yep, he takes the triple changers and, you know, does like, oh, you guys, and rubs
yeah.
them.
Yeah, he double noggin knockers them, like, you know, like in wrestling when the good guy comes in and smashes, like, Demolition's heads together.
Well, it's like, pulls more, like, it looked like more of a Three Stooges, like, you know, Moe's taking Larry and Curly and boom, you know.
Wrestling and Three Stooges are very close cousins, man. I don't,
this has always been one of my, like, favorite season two episodes because it's so stupid. There's so...
The Autobots they form back into the throne and they're like, Optimus Prime, you're the real leader.
Yeah,
here, sit on your throne. And so Optimus Prime's like, thrones are for Decepticons. Besides, I'd rather roll. And it transforms, flashes his high beams, and he takes off.
That was the weirdest submissive thing. Like, you deserve a throne. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, that's like some 50 Shades of Secretary business going on. It's like, I don't know, man.
You're sit on me.
This is how y'all do it on Cybertron?
Apparently so. Not Optimus is above that, though. He would not do that. He would not emasculate his...
That's Decepticon business, dude. That's,
yeah, really, man. It's so weird.
This was a real fun episode, and I felt like I watched this for 5 minutes and it was over. This was a lot of fun. I don't know if I'd call it good.
No, it's not good.
But it was funny and it was a lot of fun. Kid Brain probably would have loved this one since there were a lot of trains in it, and my grandpa and I had a lot of in scale model trains, which are very cool. To a kid, those are very cool. You know what? Those are very cool to an adult.
Oh yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
So I mean, Kid Brain's man. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go like, oh, man. It was just I don't know. It was good. A lot of cool scenarios. I probably would have hijacked for playtime. I'd go like three absolute zeros out of five. Adult Brain though, just like I said, had a blast with this. It was it wasn't just uproariously funny, like you could like bad funny, but it was like some legitimate stuff that I was like, oh man, that was really silly and good, and like it was a quick watch. So I'm gonna go Adult Brain's gonna go four SimCity Arcologies out of five, the ones that blast in space.
Yes, of course. No, honestly, yeah, this is one of the episodes of season two that it's not good at all. It's essentially just bad. But I mean, I was looking forward to it because it was like, this is one of the ones that makes all those really bad, boring, stupid episodes actually worthwhile. You get here, there are certain like points in the season you're like, oh, I can't wait for that one. It's so good. I loved it so much. This actually was in the only episodes that made me A, feel bad for Astrotrain, B, really enjoy Blitzwing.
So yeah, he did more in this than he did like in the entire like in everything I've seen so far. This was real cool. It was a good showcase for him.
He wasn't incompetently bad. He was actually, he just didn't understand what he was doing.
No, his stuff, you know, he was good at what he was doing. He was
pretty good.
Like his stuff worked. Yeah. Like he had 1,569 points.
He knew what he was. Mercy rule, man. Mercy rule.
He had a grip. He had a grip.
You guys go home, you know. It was just fun. And I honestly love watching this. And you know, I would definitely I'll give this like, you know, full on 3.5 long bombs out of 5. It was just, you know, fun. We're in this weird lull in season 2 where there's some really bad stuff and fun stuff. And past this, we're gonna get all this little lull, and it's gonna be like really cool stuff that builds up. So yeah, okay. Yeah. And besides, Skids shows up again to get, you know, crushed.
Yeah, it's terrible. That was kind of cool. So
yeah, the lay car.
All right.
Well, yeah, man. So I'm glad you're back, and
you too.
You know, I'm glad you took some time. And you know, honestly, I'm also glad that Trigger is got to get some art up there. I was like, man, please, I'd love to have it. Also, real quick, I mentioned this at the beginning. We have there's an old fanzine that Transformers fans did. You know, like, you know, the old fanzines where people would, like, you know, create you know, whatever, you know, art and stuff, and like write little stories about whatever is going on in the fandom. So Tony Buchanan, he did this thing called Auto Update, and it's been going on since the mid 90s. Took a huge break.
Mm-hmm.
And just started doing it again. And instead of doing like taking and making the things and sending them out to people's houses, he's doing it online.
Yeah.
And he reached out. I kind of talked to him about the podcast. So he featured our podcast in the latest issue.
Oh, no kidding. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to make sure that I'm going to link the auto update in the notes. And thanks a lot, Tony. And big, big thanks there. So yeah, you know, he goes to a lot of the older fans, like the fans that have been with it since, you know, the 90s, when like the internet was news groups, Facebook or whatever. So they're really cool. I mean, it's nice to be able to talk to some of the older fans and bring them along with this. So anyways, I want to make sure I said that. I'm sorry I didn't say that at the beginning. I meant to.
That's awesome.
A lot going on.
That's super cool. Thanks a lot. I needed to say a special thanks to a friend of the show, David, who really kind of went out of his way to reach out to me last couple of weeks to make sure I was doing well, and gave me a lot of resources for cool stuff.
Nice.
And thanks a lot, man. Thanks for thanks for being a friend of the show and just being a friend in general. You know,
Definitely.
Though I've never met the guy in real life, he seems like a great dude. And if we ever get up to conventions up that way, I think we should definitely do some hanging out. So
BotCon was just this weekend. It was their 30th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Match up with the 40th anniversary of the show. Yeah. So I wish I could have gone. It's just not possible right now, but we should definitely find a way to go sometime in the near future to some convention. But anyways, yeah, definitely. We'll meet all the people, and it'd be really cool. So thanks a lot, Dave, for that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it with it, man. Do you have any quote to leave us with today?
No, I have nothing. Look after yourselves, take care of yourself, and check on people that are struggling, and roll out.
Roll out. See you later, everyone. Bye. Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here. And we look forward to you being here every week.